The reading is Mark chapter 14, verse 17 to 21, and then 43 to 52. So, Mark chapter 14, verse 17. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely not I." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." In verse 43, just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Am I leading a rebellion," said Jesus, "that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then everyone deserted him and fled. A young man was wearing nothing but a linen garment, was following Jesus when they seized him. He fled naked, leaving his garment behind.
Harper 7. It's not the name of a detergent or a disinfectant. It's the name that David and Victoria Beckham have given to their baby girl. Harper 7. Well, I suspect that no parent here would think of giving that name to their baby girl. But there's also the name of a boy, which I think as parents we would never give to one of our children. And that name is the name Judas. And yet Judas is a Bible name. In the New Testament there are 6 or 7 men who are called Judas. It is a Bible name. But it's a name now so tainted, so sordid, that we would hesitate ever to give that name to our children. There are certain names, and the very mention of them almost send a shiver down the spine. Adolf Hitler, Idi Amin, Saddam Hussein, Peter Sutcliffe, the Yorkshire Ripper. These names almost send a shiver down the spine, because they are synonymous with all that is evil and sinful. And surely the name of Judas Iscariot falls into that category. Well, I want us this morning to think about Judas Iscariot, and to do so under 3 headings. The first is a treacherous act. a treacherous act. Again and again, when Judas is referred to in the New Testament, he's spoken of as Judas who betrayed him. But who was this man Judas? Well, he was a man who for 3 years had been the disciple of Jesus. He'd walked with him. He'd eaten with him. He'd seen his miracles. He'd heard his preaching. For 3 years, Judas had been the disciple of Christ. But not only had he been a disciple of Christ, as far as the other apostles were concerned, he'd been a trusted, a respected disciple of Christ. And we can say that for two reasons. In John's Gospel, we're told that Judas was the treasurer. He was the chancellor of the exchequer. And though he was a thief, it's obvious that the other apostles never suspected a thing. Otherwise, he would never have been appointed to carry the purse strings. But I suggest also we see this here in Mark 14 and verse 17. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, surely not I. It is one of the 12, one who dips bread into the bowl with me. When Jesus said, one of you will betray me, the disciples didn't wink. They didn't nudge one another and say, yes, we know who he means. No, they suspected their own hearts before they ever suspected Judas. Not for one moment did they think that Judas was a fraud. And so this is the man we're thinking about. Not just a disciple of Christ, but a man who in the eyes of the other apostles was a trusted, a respected disciple of Christ. What then did he do? Verse 44, the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, Rabbi, and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. It's a remarkable fact, but except for Judas, we never read that any of the 12 ever kissed Jesus. The only man to kiss Jesus was Judas. Rabbi, Master, he said, and kissed him. And what a kiss it was. Not a kiss of affection, but a kiss of deceit. Indeed, it was worse than that. It wasn't just a kiss of deceit. In every sense, it was the kiss of death. Judas said, Rabbi, and kissed him, the men seized Jesus and arrested him. Why did Judas do it? Well, we say for 30 pieces of silver. And that's true. But is there not a far deeper reason? You see, although Judas was at the Saviour's side, he'd never been on the Saviour's side. Though he had perhaps preached repentance, he himself had never practiced repentance. And ultimately, that is why Judas did what he did. Well, what a challenge Judas is to pastors, to preachers, to church officers, to all who attend a place of worship. This morning, we are near to the kingdom of God. Are we in the kingdom of God? This morning, we are at the Saviour's side. But are we on the Saviour's side? This morning we're part of a congregation on earth. Will we be part of that congregation in heaven? John Bunyan said, I saw there was a way to hell even from the gates of heaven. My friends, we need to be sure. And I would urge you this morning, if you'd never done so, to repent and believe the gospel. To repent and be converted. Stop being a Judas. Stop being a fraud. Repent and become the true disciple of Christ. A treacherous act. The second heading is a mysterious choice. A mysterious choice. Again, verse 17. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. Verse 20. It is one of the 12. And there in verse 43, just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. Judas was called by Jesus to be one of the 12. He was called and ordained just as Peter, James and John were called and ordained. What do we say then? That Judas was just a bad choice on the part of Christ? That he just misjudged this man when he called and ordained him? Is that what we say? For a number of years as a school governor, I was responsible with others for the appointing of staff. And sometimes, with the benefit of hindsight, we had to say, We got it wrong. They were a bad choice. It would have been better if that person had never been appointed. Is that how it was with Jesus? Was Judas just a bad choice? A bad appointment on his part? Well, we can't say that. And we can't say it for two reasons. If you turn to John chapter 6 and verse 64, it's on page 1071. John chapter 6 and verse 64. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And he says, "Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. Jesus knew from the beginning. Jesus didn't misjudge Judas. Judas didn't deceive Jesus. Jesus knew from the beginning who would betray him. And then if we turn over to Acts chapter 1 and verse 15 on the page 1092. Acts 1 verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number, and shared in this ministry." What Judas did, his betrayal of Christ, it had been prophesied by David in the book of Psalms. Hundreds of years before Judas had ever been born, it had been foretold in the pages of the Old Testament. And so we have to say that the choosing of Judas, it was not a mistake. It was not a mistake on the part of Christ. It had to be. It had been foreordained. We're not faced with a mistake here, but what we are faced with is a mystery, a deep mystery. Why did Christ choose Judas? Why did God permit this man to be an instrument of the devil? It is a mystery, a deep mystery. How then do we respond when in our own hearts we say, "Why?" When perhaps others say to us, "Why was Judas chosen?" Well, we can do no better than turn to Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. It's on page 208. 208. "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever. What an important verse that is. We've to concern ourselves with the things that God has revealed, not with those things that God has concealed. And sometimes that's where we go wrong. We expect an answer to every question. We expect an explanation for every mystery. We don't think that God should have any secrets. But he has. And whilst there's so much that he's been pleased to reveal to us, at the same time, there are also things which he has been pleased to conceal from us. In 1986, remember the year, a man in Ingleton put a notice in a window saying that he wished to speak with anyone who was interested in the second coming of Christ. And so I telephoned him and I arranged an appointment. Now when I got there, he produced a book which he himself had written. And it was quite a volume. It stretched to well over 200 pages. And there were charts and diagrams and maps and calculations. And it all came together on the final page when we were told that the return of Christ would be in 1984. It was already 1986. I rather admired his nerve in showing me the book. But it didn't seem to throw him at all. He just felt that one or two of his calculations were not right. But he would be accurate to within a year or two. How foolish. Secret things belong to our God. And the day when Christ returns, no man knows. Not even the angels in heaven. It is a mystery. It is a secret known only to God. Do you remember when his disciples asked him, "Will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Jesus said this, "It's not for you to know. It's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put within his own power. It is not for you to know." And the choice of Judas by Jesus, it comes into that category. It's a mystery we cannot explain. It's a secret we're not privy to. And in a very real sense, I'm thankful it is so. One of the Puritans said, "A comprehended God is no God at all." A comprehended God is no God at all. In other words, if we knew, if we could understand all the ways and the purposes of God, he would be a God far too small to worship. He would not be God at all. A treacherous act, a mysterious choice. But just a third thing, a damning verdict. Verse 21. "The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. About the same time that Mary and Joseph were rejoicing at the birth of Jesus, so the parents of Judas were rejoicing at his birth. They gave him the name Judas. And Judas means praise of God. They praise God for the birth of this child. And no doubt they hoped that Judas would grow up to be a man who himself would praise and worship God. But it was not to be. Because some 30 or 40 years afterwards, Jesus was to give this stunning, this damning verdict on Judas. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Interesting, isn't it? That's what the advocates of abortion say today. If a child is to be born with some handicap, some disability, they say, well, it would be better if the child was not born at all. That's what the abortionists say. But Jesus never said it of the handicapped. Jesus never said it of the disabled. He said it of an able-bodied man. Of a man who had a brain. Of a man who could handle money. Jesus said it of Judas. Why? Well, Judas lived and died without repentance, without saving faith, without ever being reconciled to God. And Jesus is saying this. Because Judas was not born again, it would have been better if he'd never been born at all. That's what Jesus is saying. What a challenge there is in those words. I might be rich. I might be successful. I might be having a great time, enjoying all that this world has to give me. But Jesus says that without repentance, without saving faith, without preparing for eternity, then my time on earth isn't just a waste of time. It's more serious than that. My time on earth is a tragedy. It's a disaster. It would have been better if I'd never been born at all. In the book of Acts, when Judas died, we're told he went to his own place. He went to hell. There are two places, two destinations beyond death. Our own place or his place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself so that where I am, there you may be also. There is our own place, or there is his place. Now, the great tragedy of Judas is this. He kissed Jesus. In other words, he kissed the door of heaven, and yet he still went to hell. Isn't that tragic? He kissed the door of heaven, and he still went to hell. People tell me that God will not send anyone to hell. And in a sense, they are right. If a man murders or rapes or commits armed robbery, it's no use him saying, "The judge sent me to prison." It wasn't so much the judge who sent him to prison. It was his own act. It was his own deed. And that's why the Bible says that Judas went to his own place. It was his own foolishness. It was his own rejection of Christ. That is what caused him to go to his own place. And so can I ask you this morning, where are you going? To what place are you heading? Is it your own place? Or is it his place? That prepared place in heaven. Are you going to be with Judas for all eternity? Or are you going to be with Jesus for all eternity? There's no question more important. Be warned. Be warned by the sad example of Judas. He never came to repentance. He never came to faith. He made no preparation for eternity. And the Bible says he went to his own place. And Jesus says it would have been better if Judas had never been born at all. Shall we pray? Father, we can't understand why Judas was chosen, why he became the instrument of the devil. Secret things belong unto our God. But we thank you this morning that these things are recorded in the New Testament. Father, they are there as a warning. And we pray that each one of us in your presence right now might search our hearts and ask ourselves the question, am I a real Christian? Or am I a hypocrite? Am I a fraud? Am I a Judas? Father, we know that we can deceive one another. We can perhaps even deceive ourselves. But we cannot deceive you. We pray this morning that we might have a fresh vision of Christ, of his death for sinners on the cross of Calvary. And we pray that if over the weeks and months and years that we have just been playing games, pretending to be Christians, we pray that even this morning, your Spirit will bring us to repentance and to true faith in Christ. Father, we thank you for your infinite grace and mercy and patience and forbearance towards us. And we pray, Father, that even this morning there might be those who will hear the call of Christ and hearing his call, bow the knee, repent of their sins and turn to him in faith. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.